With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Welcome to Nerd Nuptial. This is episode 13.
13, that's right. Episode 13. We've been doing this for a while now, and I have fun every single time we do it.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I guess you should.
I guess
be.
I do too.
I guess that would be a little weird, like if I came in and it was just like you know, I gotta
last week I didn't really have that good a time.
Yeah. It's just the chemistry between the two of us.
That would be a problem.
That would be an issue on a much grander scale than this show.
Exactly.
But we just want to thank you guys for everything that you do for us. Everything that you do in realms of downloading, subscribing, emailing us, contacting us, just supporting the show. Word of mouth. There's a lot of people out there. I'm seeing a lot of people out there on Twitter and on Facebook basically share our links, share my username saying, hey, if you like House of Cards, if you like David Fincher,
oh, that's awesome.
You know, like, check out Nerd Nuptial. And I just want to thank you to all those who are doing it. And I want to thank those people who are writing us reviews, because we have two new reviews.
Woo!
That's right. We have two new reviews, and so that means we're up to 85 ratings.
That's awesome.
In only 13 episodes. I'm pretty proud of that, especially since we don't have celebrity guests. You know, like, when you see podcasts and they have a whole bunch of ratings, it's like, oh, they had Obama on, you know?
Yeah, that won't happen.
No, we don't have Obama, but I did dream about it the other day.
Did you?
I did.
That's kind of random.
I know it's random, but like, okay, Marc Maron on WTF, it's a very big podcast. He's a comedian. He has his own show on IFC now. And it was either weeks or months ago. I can't remember how long ago it was.
It's all a blur,
but he had Obama on his podcast. I'm pretty sure that was the first time a sitting president has ever been on a podcast. And
that's crazy.
I guess podcasts have really only been around for Obama and Bush, so but anyway, you know what I'm saying, because you know Clinton has been on podcasts, but he's not a sitting president. And a lot of people were like, oh wow, this legitimizes podcasts in a new way. And I listened to it, and it was a great interview, and he focused on Obama the man, and I really appreciated that. And I had a dream that night where you and I somehow got Michelle and Barack on the show.
Wow, that would be pretty awesome.
I know, right? They're like apparently in my dream, they're like, hey, we're fans of your stuff, you know, like we listen to your show every single week.
Yeah, and you have way cooler dreams than I ever do. I have such abstract dreams that make no sense, and you always have like these really detailed
dreams. In movies, and like my night dreams are like daydreams.
Yeah,
where, like, I couldn't plan them better. Your dreams are like a Beckett play where you're standing in a black room holding a bloody apple and old French circus music is playing in the background.
That sounds really accurate, actually. I'm kind of having some flashbacks right now, and I don't feel comfortable.
I don't feel safe. What's going on? What's real? Did I just get incepted? What's going on?
Exactly.
That's awesome. Why I don't sleep on planes.
That's right. Yeah. It's smart. We learned that.
We were talking about reviews, I think.
Yeah, we were.
Anyway, Obama, Barack, Barry.
Yeah.
Because
in your dream, you're very close.
Yeah. If you're listening, we'd love to have you and Michelle on the show. And talk about what you're going to do, you know, after the presidency as a couple. And I think they're kind of nerds. I mean, he's a Star Trek fan, so.
Well, there you go.
There's the angle right there. All right. So reviews. We got two new reviews. One one from Dr. Sci-Fi. I love this guy.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, I know, right? Like both of these guys have really cool names. Yeah, Dr. Sci-Fi, he is a host on Earl Grey, which is a Star Trek Next Generation podcast on Trek.fm. Great show. Guys, you need to listen to Earl Grey. If you like Star Trek The Next Generation at all, which if you're listening to the show is a good probability that you do, you need to listen to Earl Grey. And he's a huge supporter of the show. Big supporter of the show. One of our loudest cheerleaders. And also we have Mr. 8-Bit. I love this name. I'm so happy that he got this name on iTunes and on Twitter and everything like that. He found TTJ and he's been a strong supporter ever since. And then he found Nerd Nuptial because I talk about it all the time, probably too much on Tuesday Journey. and he, both of them wrote us great reviews. So we thank you. Yes, thank you to you. And you guys, if you're listening to my voice and you are part of our international audience, and I want to say hello to all of you in the Middle East, because I know you're listening, apparently. Like, according to our stats, we're really big in the Middle East.
That's awesome.
And so...
Hey, we'll take it.
You know, like... But yeah, if you're a part of an international audience and you wrote us a review in the non-US store, let us know. Take a screen capture and email it to us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can find me on Twitter @TheInsaneRobin. And if you're listening to us and you enjoy us, take a few seconds and write us a review on iTunes. It really, really helps us out. Because
it makes us feel good.
Not only does it make us feel good, but the more reviews we get and the faster we get the reviews, the higher we go on lists and the more listeners we get. And it's a great way to promote the show, and it doesn't cost you anything. Today, we're going to be talking about a few things. The main topic is we're going to be talking about dystopian futuristic movies and post-apocalyptic movies.
But how we got there to this topic was not the best way.
tell the viewers what happened.
Okay, so we saw the trailer for the movie High Rise.
With Tom Hiddleston.
Yes. We thought it was a really cool concept and very like Ray Bradbury-esque, and we're huge fans of his work and stuff like that. He didn't write it or anything like that, but just felt like...
It was another novelist who writes
exactly.
that genre.
It felt like our type of movie. We rented it. And we were all about it because we could watch it, you know, from the comfort of our own home.
Yeah, it's not in theaters right. yet. It's going to be in theaters, but they did an early digital release. And you and I said, okay, if they start doing this more...
We need to support it.
We need to support this cause because we really like early digital releases.
Absolutely. So we rented it. And this has been our first, like, free day in a very long time because we've been just working like crazy and things are... slowing down finally today, like the first day. And so we rented it, and it was not a good time.
It was a painful 2 hours, and I'm really like, if we were watching this on Netflix, we probably would have shut it off at the 40-minute mark,
probably. But we rented it and we spent money on it.
It was $10 rental.
Yeah, so we stuck it out, and I'm really surprised that we stuck it out, actually.
Yeah.
Because both of us, without speaking, definitely were suffering through it.
I could feel you suffering yes. next to me. And every once in a while, I think you could see me, like, put my hand on the bridge of my nose going...
Yep.
It's... So, what it is... Oh, my gosh. And, like, you said, like, oh, let's not give any spoilers. And I say, no, I'm going to, like... First of all, what is there to spoil? Nothing. And second of all, if there is something to spoil, I want to spoil it because I want to damage this movie. I want to hurt it.
I don't think that's the mission of the Nerd Party, is to damage movies.
Oh, you're like we founded the network on staying positive in nerd realm.
Yeah,
like,
was kind of the idea.
It's kind of the idea. Well, okay, I'm abandoning that for this. I'm making a special
all right.
circumstance for this situation. If this movie had legs, I would break them with a baseball bat.
Oh my gosh.
That is what I would do. I have not been this angry at a movie in a long time. And actually, no, I was describing it to you just a second ago where I said, I was like, I was angry after Iron Man 2 because it should have been better. Like, I walked out of the theater pissed saying that was a crappy movie. This is an altogether different emotion.
This is like, wow, we just wasted a lot of time.
And like you said, I was like, this is our first free day in like 2 months.
I feel like this always happens to us. Whenever we have like this precious time, we always rent something new and it disappoints us.
This is why you have an aversion to trying new things.
Yes, this is exactly why I have my go-to movies.
You're like, why would we watch High Rise, Tristan, when we could just watch Baby Mama?
Have a good time.
I get it. It's that's why chains are so successful.
Yeah.
Around the globe.
You know what you're going to get.
It like, oh, like, holy crap, there's a Burger King in Italy? Let's do that.
We're totally those people.
We are those people. And I am a little shamed, but not ashamed enough to curb my behavior. So,
well,
moving on.
That's our problem.
For those of you, like a few people, I posted on Twitter immediately saying, don't watch this movie. And a few people chimed in and said, oh, I haven't heard of this yet. It's flown a little bit under the radar. And
it has a lot of big names in it, though.
It has a lot. Jeremy Irons,
Sienna
Miller.
The feel of the movie.
Yeah. Like, because the trailer hooked us. Trailer hooked us in. The trailer showed that it was going to be a weird movie.
Yes.
We were expecting a weird movie.
I was on board for the weirdness.
Yeah, I'm okay with the weirdness. It looked like it was going to be a retro futuristic thing, where like a view of the future from the 1970s.
Which, we were like, that's so cool.
We're down with that. Absolutely. I love that stuff. And so what it is like Tom Hiddleston is a doctor and he moves into a high rise. There's immediately some sort of social stratification. It's ill-defined, but, you know, like the people on the lower floors are poorer than the people on the higher floors. It felt very Snowpiercer-esque.
Yeah, except for in Snowpiercer, at least they were contained to that train.
Yes.
Whereas in this one, there was no containment. There were multiple high rises.
And there was the outside world.
Yeah, so they went to work. They got in their cars and went to work in another location, which we never saw. So,
well, we saw Tom Hiddleston at work.
Oh, that's true. We did. You're right. But it was like, if you had them more contained, then that social hierarchy would have made more sense.
Yes, that's the thing.
Where it was just like, wow, this high rise sucks and nothing we can do about it. Well, what if you moved?
That's all I was thinking. I was like, why don't you just move to a different building?
They were very trapped and yet not, because the main character could leave and like other characters left and stuff. But it felt very like they were trapped in this horrible environment. But it didn't make sense.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it turned into Lord of the Flies downtown. Like it was just insane because, like you said, Snowpiercer is contained. This is not. And so, like, they all turn to savages for no reason whatsoever. And that, like, they have a grocery store and they're raiding the grocery store. They're literally raping each other and killing each other. And people are like, and they're killing animals for food. And all the while you're watching this, and they know and we know, there's an outside world. There's a downtown. There's civilization outside of the high rise. And I'm sure people who like this movie are listening to me right now going, that's the point, Tristan. We make our own prisons. Yeah, I get it, okay?
Oh, they hit us over the head with that one.
I get the concept. That was the least subtle anti-capitalistic message that I have ever seen.
Yeah, it was, like I said, hit you over the head with it. And
it was a sledgehammer to the face.
Yeah.
That's why I want to take a sledgehammer to its legs. And to top it all off, the very final moments of the film, is an audio recording of Ayn Rand talking about the beauty of capitalism. And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like we didn't get it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turned from a sledgehammer to a jackhammer.
Yeah.
And also, there was so much violence towards women.
Yeah, it felt, I just, like, we've talked about it before, I just can't take that stuff, so we had to.
And violence towards animals.
Yeah, it was for,
there was a lot.
And again, for no reason, because we knew as an audience that there was another way. Like, there was an outside world here.
This got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See, that's why I just can't go by those ratings.
I can't. I mean, Matt Hansen, co-host of the Senate floor, puts a lot of value into Rotten Tomatoes. And that's fine. I respect the numbers too. But I have been fooled far too often by high numbers for low quality movies and low numbers for high quality movies. And I just like what you like. And this is not one of those films.
No. I mean, like I said, I think at first I was on board. I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is kind of cool. It's different. Yeah. You know, it feels different. The style, even though, like, the camera work was different and cool.
Yeah.
You know, very, like, in some parts, kind of ethereal
and
whatnot. But
I like the play on music.
Yes, it was cool. And it was very like classical pieces going on in this this world, you know, very concrete. So it was interesting that, you know, juxtaposition of the concrete and you know, this beautiful music and like, you know. But at the same time, I was going to say, like, at probably around the 30-40 minute mark, I was like, yeah, now this is no longer interesting and now it's just frustrating.
Now it's just a bad movie.
Yes.
Yeah. It was incredibly frustrating and it was just so sad because the trailer was so promising and
yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that for the entire time.
No, it's not worth it.
It is not worth our time. It is not worth your time. So I don't say this very often. Like most of the time I say, yeah, we didn't like it, but you know, you should watch it and get your own opinion. I really do think that with this one, no, don't watch it. Do not watch it. Don't spend the money. Even if it comes on Netflix for free, if someone throws a copy of the DVD at you, you throw it back.
All right. So, yeah, don't watch that movie.
But anyway, it got us thinking. It got us because, you know, this wasn't exactly a post-apocalyptic film, but it was definitely a microcosm of a dystopian society.
Absolutely.
And so that got us thinking about other movies, much better movies, that deal with the genre. And we wanted to talk about that. We wanted to talk about not just specifically the movies, but the genre itself.
Absolutely, because we love that genre.
You and I both. And I want to ask you, what do you think the appeal is? Because here's the thing, is that when we see a post-apocalyptic film or a dystopian future, we get fascinated by it. We get intrigued by it. We like the drama. But when we see a hyper reality where everybody's happy, let's use Star Trek as an example. Star Trek, Earth is paradise. There's, you know, there's no war on Earth, there's no strife, there's no hunger, there's no nothing like that, no negative anything like that. There is in the stars because we deal with other races and other species and everything like that. But a lot of people have criticized Gene Roddenberry's vision as unrealistic. But when we see the life wiped out because of nuclear holocaust or because of a disease, like, we're like, oh yeah, that could totally happen. But all of us living together in harmony?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that that's part of it, is that the idea of what life could be like in the future, you know, if society crumbles or if there's, you know, more segregation between the classes or, you know, something like that. I think that's what fascinates people. And that's definitely what fascinates me about the genre. And especially when you add science fiction into it, that's when you have me. I think it's really cool.
Now, you say that it interests you, but what intrigues you the most about it, you think?
I guess it's the way people react to their surroundings and their current state, whether it's the way that they function on a daily basis or the way that they interact with different classes of people. Mm-hmm. I think that that's what fascinates me the most.
And just so you guys know, we're specifically not mentioning zombie movies.
Yeah, because, I mean, yes, we love zombie movies, but I feel like that's almost another category.
That's a genre all its own. And we love that genre.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We love zombie movies.
We could do an entire podcast about that.
And probably will.
Probably, but I don't know. The High Rise kind of got us thinking about more dystopia.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic.
So I you know what? I never really thought about it that way, about, you know, how people react to their surroundings or how people react to that situation. And I think you're onto something, because what's the first question you talk to the person, like, what's the first question you ask the person who saw the movie with you? It's, what do you think would happen if we were there? You know, like, what do you think we would do? Like, you and I talk about that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, bring up zombies. Like, you know, would we survive in the zombie apocalypse? No.
No. Like, basically, whatever. Yeah. Like, we're like, would you survive in I Am Legend? Would you survive in Children of Men? And the answer is usually, no. No, probably not. I wouldn't.
Right. But it's interesting to think about.
There's always, in all of these movies, I should say most of these movies, there's one defining event. There's one event that is a catalyst. Like I mentioned Children of Men, it's the fact that women lost the ability to have babies.
Mm-hmm.
And Gattaca, it was they cracked the genome and perfected genetic engineering. you know, like in the whole Terminator franchise, it's Judgment Day.
Right.
You know, it was, you know, Skynet became self-aware. And so it was just, it was all these things like those you can wrap your head around. It's just like, oh, this crazy event happened and now we have to deal with it. But when you look at other things like The Road.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know.
We don't
what
know
happened.
What happened. Yeah. I actually used to teach The Road.
That's right.
When I taught sophomores in high school English. And it was interesting to kind of get high schoolers thinking along these lines about post-apocalyptic. And it was interesting how it wasn't necessarily something that they were very familiar with. I don't know why. I think maybe Hunger Games helps that a little bit because it's kind of that, you know, again, I mean, I guess you wouldn't necessarily, it was more of that dystopian, of course. So it was kind of easier to connect that. But with The Road, it's just about survival and people trying to survive in whatever means possible. And you have some pretty scary crap that goes down because it's all about survival. And the biggest enemy is people in that movie.
That is such an interesting, in the movie, in the book,
yeah.
I think that's such an interesting concept because when society is functioning and when society exists, that's how we survive, is by each other.
Yeah.
You know, like we go to work and we provide a service for others. When we're not working, we are acquiring those services from others. It works. It's synergy. It's clockwork.
But when you strip that away, then what do you have?
Everybody becomes a monster.
Exactly.
Everyone is only interested in themselves. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting how that, you know, especially that movie, that book, it has to do, you know, nothing science fiction related. It is just like basically the Earth died.
And it doesn't matter how.
It doesn't matter how. It
doesn't matter why.
It is just the Earth died. People somehow, there's very few left. But when you run into them, you better watch out. And it's interesting because I hate to bring zombies back into it. But with The Walking Dead, I feel like that's kind of now more of the danger with The Walking Dead is people. And at the beginning of the series, it was totally the zombies. But now it's all about people, you know, being horrible towards one another or, you know, being the danger.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that fascinates me about Walking Dead is because, and also some people criticize it for that. They're like, well, the zombies are less of a threat, and that's what they liked about the show. But, I mean,
but that could get old really fast, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, the threat of people could get old too, but at least you have a little bit more dimension there that you could bring in new characters and new threat levels with people.
Yeah, like with zombies, it's like a storm. You just have to move out of its way.
Right.
With people, you have to negotiate. You have to reason.
Exactly.
And like that. And that's why it's interesting. Speaking of the Earth dying, so one movie that people might not consider post-apocalyptic or dystopian, but it kind of is. I mean, it's
I guess you could look at it that way because I know where you're going. Yeah.
I think it's on the verge of being post-apocalyptic. It's trying to avoid the apocalypse. And that is Interstellar.
Yeah.
This is a movie that I didn't know how I felt about it after the first time I saw it.
I think it gets better every time we watch it.
I agree completely.
I like it more and more every single time we watch it. And I mean, again, it has to do with, you know, the Earth is dying. We no longer have a need for, you know, these other occupations that involve, you know, technology because we're just concerned about food and farming and everything like that. So we need to find another alternative. So we're going, you know, to the stars to find the, you know, another planets to find the alternative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I consider it in that category, I think.
Absolutely. Like, it's like...
It's interesting. It's kind of in that in-between category because it's definitely science fiction.
There's not a lot of movies that straddle that line,
yeah.
You know, where it's a sci-fi adventure, but at the same time, it's pre-apocalypse.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it'd be pre-apocalyptic,
yeah.
I guess would be the phrase. The genre is so, you see a lot of these post-apocalyptic films are from books or from video games, or I guess I'm thinking of Resident Evil, but that's zombie again. But like you have I Am Legend, where that was actually... that was actually a book about vampires taking over.
Yeah.
And they translated that for I Am Legend. I don't want to say zombies, but you could... they're more like zombies than vampires.
Yeah,
But I mean, they kind of explained that away where it was like everyone was infected.
Yeah.
But I guess zombies could be infected. So yeah. That one's kind of like, again,
like, is it a zombie film? Mm-hmm. Is it not a zombie film? But the thing is, I think they focus so much on his survival and him being alone with his dog and everything like that. I think that kind of pushes it over the edge where it's not just your average zombie film. It's him existing in a barren Manhattan.
Right.
And I guess,
which again, I think that's the appeal, is what would it be like walking down a street?
Let's talk about that.
You know, and it brings me back to the Vanilla Sky. Uh-huh. It's that idea of like you're walking around and nothing is there. You know, with I Am Legend, he is alone. He has to survive. He goes different places just to occupy his mind. Mm-hmm. You know, he finds food. He has to lock up the door. You know, you just like the survival, I think, is a lot of what the appeal is in a post-apocalyptic or dystopian type movie.
I think that is a key factor. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. Setting. Is what is the setting of this post-apocalyptic world? Because it's so interesting, because I Am Legend is very different from Children of Men.
Oh, yeah.
I Am Legend is a barren Manhattan. Children of Men is a populated London.
Yeah, and you have, you know, like your ghetto areas where people are just trying to make it. And, you know, you have other, you know, the wealthier class living in different areas. You know, so you,
they're boxing in the migrants and, right, exactly. And the minorities and the refugees.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see how, and I think that, again, that's the appeal is like, I don't know. And it just makes me think about, like, you know, if you come home late at night and you can't hear anyone outside and you just kind of like walked in, even in your door, and you're like, what would it be like if you didn't hear anyone? Have you ever had that thought before?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right? Yeah, no, I think about that a lot. I don't know why. But there have been times when I've gotten up early in the morning, and depending on what time of year it is, you know, whether it's daylight savings time or not, where I'll be driving to work and I have to get there really early and no one's on the road, not a single car.
So weird.
But the sun is up.
Yeah.
Like if it's late at night, or if it's like 4 a.m. and the sun's down, you're just like, oh, you know, nobody's up. But when the sun is up and no one's around, that's when it freaks you out.
I feel like every single person has had experience like that and can say, like, it's that feeling of what's wrong? Has something happened?
Yeah.
You know, where you're all alone and you don't see anyone out. I don't know. It's an interesting feeling.
There was one time when we went to college together, and there was one time when everybody went home. It was a long weekend and everyone went home for just to see their families. And I didn't, for some reason.
Which doesn't make sense because you were not that far away.
No, I don't live. Yeah, I didn't live that far away. So I don't know why I didn't go home, but I stayed there. I was literally the only person in my dorm.
That's
and
weird.
When I walked to lunch, because they had to keep services open, like really the only person that I saw was the lunch lady. and so I'm walking across campus and it's completely barren.
That's weird.
No one's walking around. And so I, of course, was running around screaming, tech support! Tech support!
For no one but yourself.
For no one but myself.
I believe you.
That's what I do. I entertain myself. That's just what I do. But yeah, I really like what you said about setting, because when you look at these movies, everything that's unique about it is the setting. You know, like we mentioned Children of Men, we mentioned Interstellar and I Am Legend and everything like that. But you look at Hunger Games, you know, that was along the East Coast, is that right? Like somewhere around in there, I think.
Yeah,
that's
around
where she had it.
I believe so.
And so it scaled a lot of area, and so we're just like, oh, okay, this is a fallen America, but like it's an isolated area. We only got 12 districts or 13 districts or whatever. And then you have something like Aeon Flux, where there's one surviving city. Or, well, I guess in the cartoon there was two, and in the movie there was one, and it was one mega city. And that's, oh, and speaking of mega city, that's like in Judge Dredd, you know, like that was, you had a barren wasteland and then one mega city with mega high rises and structures and everything like that, where the cops were the judge, jury, and executioner. Mm-hmm. And it's just, all of these are really, really fascinating. And Gattaca, we have to talk about Gattaca.
Yeah, that one I think that one's special.
That, like, that one never said where it was.
No.
Didn't say when it was.
Mm-mm.
And I appreciate that. I love the ambiguity because The Road gave us the ambiguity and so did Gattaca.
Right. The thing about Gattaca, I think, is the attention to detail. So, you know, this idea of, you know, like the genome being perfected and, you know, certain people can have certain jobs because they are, you know, predisposed to certain things. So they are allowed to have these jobs. This one guy who the old fashioned way was born.
Yeah. He was a godchild.
Yeah. Right. That's how they call him. It's kind of cool. He basically teams up with this other guy to steal his DNA in some way. Like, I mean, it's a mutual beneficial relationship.
Everybody goes through genetic testing all the time. Like, they have to give a blood sample just to enter a building.
Exactly.
And if you are non-genetically engineered, you cannot have certain jobs. You can't enter that building.
Well, I've been thinking about, like, they took, like, hairs and, like, put them in his keyboard of his computer so that if they were to, like, check, they would make sure that it matched.
Yeah.
You know, I just, like, it's interesting to me that genetic material meant so much and how, you know, that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting to think about how that could one day become more of an, you know, a way to identify yourself.
There was some panel of scientists at some convention or something like that. And they were talking about movies that were based in science fact.
Mm.
And Gattaca was right at the top of the list.
Interesting.
Of movies that showed a very accurate portrayal of what our society actually could look like. And that's part of why it's so scary and why it's so fascinating is because this is a very believable view of the future.
Yeah.
And at the beginning it says the not so distant future. I love it when they do that because, and then you have something like Blade Runner where they say when it's set and it says 2019. And we're in 2016 now, and we're like, oh, 2019 is not going to look like that.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like movies, when they box themselves in like that, you know, it's a little frustrating because you're like, oh.
Yeah. And that's why I appreciated it, because it said
not
too distant future. So we're just like, oh, okay, you know, we're right around the corner with this. And so we don't, like, if it said like 2015, we're not going to go, oh, you got it wrong, Gattaca.
Right.
And with, you know, like, I love Ethan Hawke. I love Ethan Hawke so much. And Uma Thurman and him together are fantastic. And apparently not in personal life, but that's neither here nor there. And I love the message that I was trying to say, because it's a futuristic message, as in this could one day be a problem. But you can also relate it back to what we're dealing with today with discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could one day discriminate on genes. Right now, we're discriminating against race and sexuality and social status and everything like that. And there was a quote in it where he said, it's called genoism.
Mm.
And we have now gotten discrimination down to a science.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Powerful stuff.
It is, yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's something special, that movie.
Yeah, you guys, we're not going to spoil anything, give anything away, because I feel like a lot of nerds like this.
Especially considering the time, like when it was made. Like, I feel like
it was very ahead of its time.
Yeah, right?
Very ahead of its time.
That's good, too.
Alan Alda's in it. He does a great job. He plays Alan Alda. But yeah, I think, you know, that's something we need to talk about. Post-apocalyptic films, dystopian futuristic films, they have a message. It's a warning.
That's true. That's very true.
Like, I Am Legend is don't play God. Gattaca is let's not play a God again and let's not discriminate. And then you have Judgment Day, where it's just like, you know, be careful what you invent.
yeah.
And it's just like, and it's just an Interstellar. It's let's not ruin the planet we're on.
Right.
And so, like, some have environmental messages, some have anti-war messages, some have wash your hands. I don't know. You know, like.
Well, yeah. I think you have to give some credit to, like, you know, I mentioned Ray Bradbury at the beginning of our of our podcast, and, you know, his work always had that science fiction with a warning, you know, Fahrenheit 451 and, you know, The Pedestrian, the short story, you know, like, all about, you know, intellectual ideas and also, like, technology overtaking us. And, you know, so I feel like that is definitely an influence in all of these films, is this idea of what could it be? Let's not let that happen. Mm-hmm. Or if we see it happening, this is how bad it could get, that type of idea.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's solid. I mean, that's we constantly say, as nerds, you know, we say that about science fiction all the time, that some of the best science fiction has a message. It has a point. It has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the exact same thing is true for post-apocalyptic and dystopia.
Oh, yeah.
It's a warning. You know, like speaking of message, you know, like it kind of makes me think of there was a movie in 1959 called On the Beach. Gregory Peck is in it. And it's about how we had World War III. It was a while ago when I saw it. It might not have been World War III, but there was a nuclear holocaust.
Okay.
And they were all in Australia because that was the last surviving place to survive the nuclear fallout.
Again, you have a location.
Yeah, exactly. And what happened was there was nuclear war, and then all of them knew that they were going to die soon because the fallout was heading towards Australia. And it's about Gregory Peck is a submarine captain. So him and his crew have survived because they're in a submarine, they're underwater, they could, you know, like, and everything like that. So it's all about them trying to survive or finding a way out or seeing, you know, if there's other survivors and everything like that. Again, it's been a long time since I've seen the film. But at the end, everybody dies. They're all gone. And this was 1959, you know, and at the end, this is a little on the nose. But you saw all these barren wastelands. You saw these abandoned buildings and abandoned street corners, and like, you know, there was tons of signs that said the end is near and mm-hmm. everything like that. Everything sure. that you would expect sure. to see in those types of movies. But there was the final image is one banner that says "There's still time, brother."
Mm.
Even though that's corny and it's on the nose, you know, this was early. You know, this was 1959. This was a long time ago. And I just loved that it was out there and it had a message and it did it better than High Rise. You know, like it said there's still time. It was a warning. It was the filmmaker saying this could happen.
Right.
Let's make sure it doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case. And then you have, you know, a little bit more, would you say like more fun post-apocalyptic, where you got like, I mean, I guess they're not fun, but Terminator and like Mad Max type movies that are a little bit more.
It's more action oriented, message oriented,
right?
Yeah,
right. I mean, with those, it's more about like, okay, you've got, you know, this group versus this group,
yeah.
and you've got, you know, your crazy guns going on, and you know,
yeah, it's all about who has the most gasoline,
right.
and who has the most bullets, yeah,
exactly, yeah. But the thing I liked about the most recent Mad Max one was I felt like it was a little bit more, had more dimension to it as far as you know, the characters, you know, you had Charlize Theron's character who her mission was not just to survive, but to kind of like
get others to safety.
And I thought that actually made the movie better mm-hmm. in that kind of, I don't know, in that world.
Yeah. 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 I agree. I think it was, everyone expected it just to be mindless action.
Right.
And then I think that's why I got such high remarks is because people were like, oh, holy crap. You know, like this has character study. This has character growth.
Right.
This has amazing action. But at the same time, we're involved with the characters.
Exactly.
And if you can do that in an action film, why not?
Right. And I'm not saying that, you know, the other Mad Maxes or Terminator don't do that. It's just a little bit more of a, you know, it's a little more fun in my opinion.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, like, I'm much more engaged. Like, I'm a fan of mindless action. You know, like, of course, you need that every once in a while.
Sure.
But if you can have fantastic action with bullets and guns and big monster trucks and everything like that, but at the same time care about the person driving the monster truck,
exactly,
yeah, that's going to be a good time.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also that idea again, like Waterworld has that, you know, a different environment. I know that movie sometimes it's kind of like gets a lot of hate, but
unabashedly love that movie.
I know you do.
I love Waterworld. Oh, I love it so much. And the director's cut, the extended edition, whatever you want to call it, even better.
And I always find it fascinating the direction that, like, for example, the costumes take mm-hmm. in different scenarios. So, like, you know, Waterworld has, you know, very much like a tribal feel. Like,
it has a distinct style.
You know,
with
it has
costumes,
like, you know, more like tattered and stuff like that. And, you know, Mad Max
makeshift.
Is, yeah, makeshift again. Mad Max is much more makeshift, you know. Like,
but more so like biker gang.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff, leather.
You know, the aesthetic is different. And then, you know, Terminator's much more like sleek.
I'd say utilitarian.
Utilitarian.
Like, if we're talking, well, the only time that we see post-Judgment Day is Terminator Salvation.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's much more militaristic.
Yeah. And it's just interesting to see, you know, or you look at Hunger Games and you have Effie Trinket with, you know, yes. like her crazy hair. And
that is mahogany.
That's right. It's just interesting to see how people... You know, that's your futuristic movies for you where, you know, some are very much more realistic where, you know, you've got your Children of Men or, you know, Interstellar where they're wearing basically what we wear today.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, but then you have other interpretations where they're wearing, you know, very outlandish, in our opinion, clothing or makeshift clothing that, you know, whatever they could find type of mm-hmm. deal, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like, I think we hit some really important stuff where it's message, tone,
aesthetic,
setting, and costume. I think it's all something that is very definitive of the genre.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, well, everyone, we want to know what you guys like about post-apocalyptic movies. What are some of your favorite post-apocalyptic
movies? Or dystopian.
You know, or like, maybe there are ones that we mentioned. Maybe there are ones that we haven't talked about that you were surprised we didn't talk about. But we want to have your list. We want to know what draws you to the genre or maybe what repels you about the genre. You know, like, maybe you don't like, you know, like seeing the world destroyed. Maybe you're unlike us. But you can do that by writing us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can go to our website, hit contact, and email us from there. You can find me on Twitter @TheInsaneRobin. And please remember, if you like us, if you can find the time and you want to support the show, please write us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And also, you know, because you're a listener, we're going to give you a link to get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. That's audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial. Use that link, audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial. That will give you a free audiobook of your choice. You get to choose from over 180,000. You can play them everywhere on your computer. You can play it on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, wherever. And it's completely free, no strings attached. I love post-apocalyptic films, and I think we should watch one tonight.
Yeah, we should. It would just be hard to decide which one.
That's true.
But we have to wash away High Rise.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We need to, whatever we do, whatever we watch, it has to be a good movie so that we can cleanse ourselves. Did you ever do this thing? I did this as a child all the time, where if I picked up a comic book or a CD or a movie of something I didn't like, I had to touch something else.
We've definitely incorporated that into our life together. I did not do that before
you.
No.
I did that all the time. Like, if I picked up a movie and I was just like, oh God, it's Striptease. Like, and then like, I had to go find The Godfather.
I'm sure with that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never seen that movie. What? What's a Demi Moore? Anyway. Let's just wash away High Rise.
That sounds good.
And let's do the mental version of touching something else.
That sounds good. Yeah. Something that's known. Something that's we know we like.
But in the meantime, I think the listener should know something. I love you.
I know.
What happened here?
Judgment Day.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.